are after the flesh. They that are after the flesh. And not the things of the flesh. They mind not the things of the flesh. They have after the spirit that are after the spirit mind the things that are of the spirit. Of course, we say, well, that's one thing, the flesh, and that's one thing, the spirit. You just mix a little two together and, you know, it makes it more interesting. I don't think that one can work that way in the spirit, in the kingdom, in the truth. Things that are of the flesh are the flesh. Things that are of the spirit are the spirit. And when you try to combine them, you might as well go all the way and stay in the flesh, because you're not getting anywhere. To hear that, to be carnal-minded is death. Many good friends of ours may be carnal-minded. We don't know what to do. If it says that, it's a death. What are we going to do about it? Maybe they mean death 20, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. To be carnal-minded is death. I'm afraid that covers most of the people we know. And it covers a good deal of ourselves, too. And the reward is very simple. Now, what are we doing about it? Am I still living in a carnal mind? It doesn't have a bad intention to say one lives in a carnal mind. When you get into a taxi cab, you're living in a carnal mind. Everything that sees the world as matter is the carnal mind. It's so clear, though, that it's death. To be spiritually minded is the opposite. Spiritually minded is life and peace. You can't be carnal minded on Tuesday and spiritually minded on Wednesday. And if you try it, you find out it doesn't work. That's a horrible thought for some of us. There was a time when maybe we were all carnally minded. And maybe we were reformed to some degree and we have a few loose spots. But there's no loose spots in the spirit. You're all spirit. Pure spirit, all carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. That's not telling you're going to be punished a little bit. Now, I venture to say that from the standpoint standpoint of what carnally minded means, there are at least 9/10 of the population who are carnally minded. That's just another way of telling them that they too are going to experience death. They may go to church and they're going to change their carnal mind. Suppose you say mortal mind, then you won't have the impression that it's referring to something immoral. Mortal mind. To be mortally minded is death. Now you're thinking just good human thoughts, and you still die. Now we believe this. It says so. It's written by Paul, it's written by John, it's written by people not only of integrity, of spiritual awareness. And then the integrity follows. And they tell us that if we live with a mortal mind, we die. Thank heaven we know what a mortal mind is. But by the same token, if we live with a not mortal mind, a spiritual mind, there wouldn't be any point if we still die, would there? So he's saying there are two minds, the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. If you live with a carnal mind, you die. And if you live with a spiritual mind, you live. So how do we prevent ourselves from lapsing into that carnal mind? Not by believing the things the carnal mind has told us over the last 2,000 years. I don't like an individual. That doesn't mean I have to accept his carnal mind. So we have retranslated our life. If we have 10 commandments, we have 10 spiritual commandments. Whatever we have has been translated into spirit. And if possible, there are no exceptions. We can't find an exception that pleases us and then go back to the idea that I'm living in the spiritual mind. Thought of that. I didn't mean to be an enemy of God. When I committed this carnal act, I became one. And if I stay in that carnal mind, I stay as an enemy of God. Now, what is the translation? What is an enemy of God? I certainly don't want to be one. But if I don't know I've got a carnal mind, I'm one anyway. be two ways of looking at things. You look at them as people do. That's a newspaper. That's something else. That's a physical this, that's a physical that. These are all physical things. And that's the carnal mind. If I can translate what I see, I won't be looking at the visible world, will I? Because it's all carnal mind. But I can't go around looking at it as if it were invisible. Yet the Bible tells me, have you that mind that was in Christ? Can I figure this out to avoid the carnal mind? I'm riding by a horse. The horse is flesh. Pay so much money for the horse. Money. The horse. The physical world is still predominant. That's the carnal mind. I haven't even done anything wrong that I know of, but I'm in the carnal mind. That's quite a task then. A person can't spend all day, can he? How are you going to come out of the carnal mind? To be Christ followers, what can we do? We've got to develop a spiritual consciousness. And everything we look at, we transform in our consciousness to its spiritual constituents. We don't pretend that it's spirit when I'm looking at matter. We say that what I'm looking at is not there. I can't be carnal-minded about what is not there. You make the world disappear. Begin to see a new kind of world. A world that is very different than your eyes have told you. This individual before me is a physical human being that I see. Suppose his name now is John, or Jesus Christ. Can I accept the fact that I'm not looking at a person and only the Spirit of the Lord is there? Can I accept the fact that I'm not a physical person looking at him? The Spirit of the Lord is here. You've got to become aware of the spiritual nature of every person you see. And you won't do this unless you take these words to heart. Is enmity against God. To be carnally minded is death. Why does everybody die? Because they're still carnally minded. That's why. See one who has risen above the carnal mind in some manner to see the spiritual reality that underlies all flesh. He'll find that he is obeying the Bible. He is taking the advice of the man who said this. Please God. Did it occur to you that being in the flesh will be unpleasant to God? And many people are in the flesh and therefore do not please God. Makes you analyze yourself. Have you been caught in the flesh? Do you think that you are in the flesh? You're not pleasing God. That's a very difficult statement. Out of the concept of flesh. I look the same. I must accept myself as an invisible being. I look the same. But you see flesh. You do not see the invisible self. And this is driving me to the invisible. It's driving you to the invisible if you accept the truth of it. It's driving you to that which you are. Everyone who accepted this statement would say, if that is the truth, I have no choice but to accept myself as spirit instead of flesh. Spirit is invisible. I am an invisible being, and I'm not being funny. There's no other way. But that's why we're talking about the world that is changing. You can't go on in the world as flesh. The only way to change is to be the Spirit of God. The only way to be the Spirit of God is to be invisible. When you're visible, you sign your death warrant. You'll come through any time. You can't stop it. Christ was never visible. You can't attain Christhood as a visible human being. You can continue to appear visibly, but your consciousness must make the adjustment and know that your invisibility is your reality. You've never been faced with this, have you? You've got to be. No one has actually seen the invisible you, have they? And yet all you are is an invisible being, so no one has ever seen you. It might be a depressing thought to think, for 50-odd years or so, I've walked this earth. Nobody has seen me. They don't know who I am. They think I'm this visible fellow. And the Bible tells me, visibility is the sure way to death. Enmity against God. I've got to make adjustments whether I like it or not. Into a different state of mind than we have lived in. And maybe it's about time, of course, because this Bible has been around a long time and won't go much further. That's why I stressed 2,000 years ago we were told the truth of ourselves. And time might be running out. Let's see what it feels like to be an invisible self. You're going to see me, and I'm going to see you. And I'm aware that you're an invisible self, and I hope you're aware that I am. Now, the invisible self is the reality of us. The visible self goes around and does things. Now, allegedly, it does what the mortal mind wants it to do. But if the invisible self is where you're living, the invisible self will tell this visible flesh where to go and what to do. Therefore, you invisibly dictate where the visible flesh goes. It's very different than making random judgments off the cuff based on physical evidence. God. But we, ye be, ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be. That's the spirit of God. By that is meant, if the Spirit of God dwell in your consciousness, your spirit is always with you, but are you aware of it? is in your consciousness. So you got to make an adjustment to know that the Spirit of God that dwells in me is known to me as the Spirit of God. That I am the Spirit of God. And if I don't know it, just like I don't have my feet on the ground. That means you've got to make a radical change in your life to comply. I am the Spirit of God, and I do know it. And every time someone refers to me as a mortal man, I make a mental adjustment. I am the Spirit of God, and though I appear mortal, that is the world mind making me appear that way. It is not God making me appear that way. It is the world mind coming through me, making me appear as I do. But I have the privilege of correcting it. There aren't many people that you see that are consciously spirit. Perhaps they do act a little different, but they all look the same as they did when they were not spirit. Two worlds around you then, the spiritual world, which you cannot see, and which is reality, and the world that you do see with your carnal mind. Inhabit God's world. Nobody's going to do this accidentally. You must be aware that you're in God's world. Wherever you go in God's world when you know I am spirit and I am the invisible. Right here. Nobody sees me. They see my physical sense. But this must be done to take you out of the carnal mind. Until you find that living that way is an automatic thing without taking thought. You must live in your invisible self to be spirit. And when you live in your physical self, you dwell in that which was not made by God and is not under the law of God. Mandate very clearly and it's these minor adjustments which are major.
passage was in Romans. I will start on chapter 8, and I would go down to about 9 or 10. That would complete the thought. The absence of compliance will work to your detriment and put you right in the carnal mind. Your compliance will take you and lift you into the spiritual mind. Each little time you obey Scripture, it takes you that much closer to your fulfillment as a child of God. Every time you do what Spirit has requested, you are closer to being that which you are permanently. Who have determined to live spiritually take advantage of every suggestion that tells us how to do it. It may seem small at first, but every suggestion that tells us how to live in the Spirit and how we forget can be pursued to its ultimate conclusion, so that when one refers to you, whether we know it or not, we are referring to the spiritual child of God. And that child of God is living in the kingdom of heaven on earth, Christ consciousness. Determines whether you are one thing or another. It's all in your lap. You determine it. You can be the Spirit of God, or you can be the Spirit of God acting like a human being. You determine it. You determine it fully. You can be the Spirit of God receiving spiritual endorsement, or you can be the Spirit of God treated like a human being. You determine it. Every degree of spirit that you accept rewards you. Until you learn how to really accept Spirit, to live as Spirit, to be Spirit, and then to say, because I am Spirit, reputation now. I am the Spirit of God forever. Anytime I have lost my way, I can correct it by knowing I am the Spirit of God. And I will not lose my way if I am consciously the Spirit of God when I start my day. The moment I awaken into this world, consciousness takes me into the invisible world where I find myself. You're in it consciously every minute of the day. You review it from time to time. You check yourself on that review and you practice it until it's bone of your bone, until the bones disappear. Until you see me, thou seest the Father. Till you know that as well as the name Jesus Christ. Brings us to, I think, the half point of our seminar, and I hope by the time we have come to some form of awareness that the seminar is near its close, that we can be in agreement that everyone here is I. Everyone lives in the Spirit of God. Everyone here knows that they are the Spirit of God. And we can individually go from there into various places in consciousness which give life and form and activity that is borrowed from the living Spirit in us, which is all connected in oneness with God. We want our activities to be blessed by our connection, our oneness with God, which is always a fact. thank you very much. I'm looking forward to tonight when we come on a new tangent, something which will take us into another level of ourselves, and we'll put it all together before it's over. Thank you very much.
Thank you.